apologize for that. So the first thing is, again, to make sure that you're doing one at a time when you're doing systems and structures, so you don't get overwhelmed and so that you can set your kid up for success. The second thing that is often a challenge around systems and structures is if we have executive function challenge as well. Whether it's because you're ADHD, or whether you're like me and you're entering menopause, or whether you just have crazy mom syndrome and can't remember anything, it's sometimes really difficult to put systems and structures in place and to be consistent. That said, why systems and structures are important is that it really is there to help compensate for challenges with executive function, which is what the good news is. If you're having a hard time putting systems and structures in place, there's some possibility that you might need a system or a structure to support you in putting a system or structure in place. And I know that probably just sounded really crazy, but I just heard, you know, Terry mention setting her alarm to help her son remember to take his medication. You know, so it's putting a reminder, like I have reminders in my calendar every Monday to talk to my son about his homework. You know, so it's because I won't remember and he won't remember, I'm his backup and I've got a system for me. So the systems can be for you, the systems can be for your kid, but the two areas where we really are kind of propping ourselves up with regard to executive function are activation, which is knowing what to do and when to do it. So systems and structures are really helpful in terms of behavior management programs. So this would be a reward system for following through. It might be a reward system or an incentive or motivation for behaving in a certain way. Example would be your typical token system that if, you know, your child went to bed with only one warning, they'd get a star, and if they got 5 stars at the end of the week, they'd get to stay up an extra 15, 20 minutes. Yeah, so that's an example of a reward system for helping your child to know what they should be doing and when. The other piece of systems and structures and what can be helpful is with regard to supporting working memory. And this is your more traditional checklists, reminders, visual cues. I think a lot of people with ADHD have a hard time remembering things unless they actually see them. They tend to be very visual, especially if they're visual learners. So having something that's up on the wall, you know, that's a checklist that's visible, or having something that's auditory, like a buzzer that goes off every 15 minutes to remind you, am I on task? You know, so there's things like time timers, which would be, a system that allows you to, you know, if an alarm goes off every 20 minutes and you go, am I on task? That's a good way to stay focused on what you're doing. An alarm system that tells you when it's time to move on to the next class or the next subject would be something that would be focused on working memory. So you can use the same sort of tool for both activation and working memory, but it's important to make sure that you figure out kind of what am I focusing in on. The other piece is that systems and structures can be preventive, and they can be prevention, and they can be management. So, for example, a system and structure around prevention might be, for example, if your child has a hard time getting off their computer games at night when it's time for bed, which one of us doesn't have that problem, I can't imagine. A system and structure you might put in place is a 10-minute warning and a 5-minute warning. So that would be a prevention sort of thing. A management structure might be that you have your computer automatically turn off at 10 p.m. so that they stop. They have to stop. They don't have a choice, right? So one's about, you know, preventing and supporting the transition before it happens, and then the other is stopping it once it has happened. Does that distinction between prevention and management make sense to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then the other thing that we talked, the workbook talks a little bit about is some of the things that will help increase the probability for success. And there's 4 things that we focused in on here. One is getting buy-in. And there's buy-in for you and there's buy-in for them. So you want to make sure that whatever system you put in place makes sense. I think that most of our kids are at an age where they can even help you figure out what the system might look like. And I would encourage you to, as you're thinking about what system to have in place, if they help you to figure out what it's going to be, they're going to have more buy-in. And remembering the comment that Noe made a couple weeks ago about the plan for homework and how he's going to track his homework and how he sat down all day and he figured out what the plan should be and that it made such a difference because it was his plan and it was his buy-in. So that's the first thing, is making sure that it makes sense for them. The second piece is to make it easy, and I talked about this before, which is, you know, it has to be easy enough for you to manage, and it has to be easy for your child to feel and see the impact, which is why we only tackle one at a time. The third thing is to allow for flexibility, and I think that this is important because there are days like Kathy and Terry have experienced this week, it sounds like, where we get worn out, and we, you know, maybe need to just take a break from a system or a structure because it may not be working today because we're too overwhelmed, or it needs to be adjusted. And so it's about noticing what works and noticing what doesn't work and to be willing to make adjustments or to be lenient if you need to periodically to make things happen. And then the other piece of it is to notice the process and notice the successes. And so if you see progress and if you see success, and we talk about this a lot, celebrate like crazy because the motivation is when things work. So if you've got a checklist and they remembered 3 out of the 5 things on the checklist, jump up and down and have a party instead of saying, but you forgot the other two. And that gets us back to the parenting positively piece about it. And, you know, these all kind of fit in together with each other, but it's really important to make sure that you're supporting and noticing the movement instead of focusing on what's not happening as you're going through it. So what questions do you guys have about systems and structures generally?
I have a question. Just generally, the difference between being flexible and being consistent. Sometimes I think the more flexible you are, the more inconsistent in the different message you're sending with it. So.
That's a really good feedback, Kathy. So that was Kathy's voice, in case everybody didn't know who that was. Let's try to remember, if we can, to say your name before you talk so that everybody knows who you are. I think that's a good point because if you're too flexible, you do lose that consistency. But you want to make sure that if something's not working, that you make an adjustment. And so what kind of comes to mind as you're saying that, Kathy, is about being very transparent and very clear when you're making a change so that your child knows, we're going to take a break from this today because you're really tired and I think you'll do better if you try it again tomorrow.
Gotcha.
So it's just really, and so then, or we're, what do you think about changing this? Because it seems like it's not working for you. Should we try it for 2 more days, or do we want to make a change now? Does that make sense? It's a subtle difference?
This is Kathy again. It makes sense, but I think sometimes you have to know your child, because as you said that, I thought, ooh, she could really work the system with that one. I think I need to make a change, which means, you know, I'm not too crazy about this system because it's making me responsible.
Well, and I think that the piece of that is you're asking her because it's not working. You know, so that you decide when you do or don't ask her that question. And if you believe that it's because she's not compliant yet, and I would say that it probably takes, you know, several days before you can figure out whether it can work. You know, it's a dance here, you know, so it's, you're right. You got to know your own child. You have to know your own disposition. But if you can keep in mind that consistency is important and flexibility is important and you're balancing between the two, that's where the magic lies, Kathy.
Gotcha. Thank you.
What about anybody else?
This is Catherine. I was thinking about that. It's kind of like if you say you get 30 minutes on the computer after school And after the 30 minutes, they ask very nicely, could I have 10 extra minutes? Well, you can be flexible. You can base that, you know, okay, things are going well today. You ask nicely, okay, you can have 10 bonus minutes. But for general stuff, aside from that kind of stuff, like have you worked on your math 15 minutes or have you done this or that? Or maybe the timing's not right. This is not the right time to do the homework. I would say don't change this. Don't be flexible in the mode where you're just exhausted and irritated and fed up and you're like, okay, fine, we'll change it. I think if they tell you something's not working, one thing you could do is say, that's something to think about. Let me think about this and we will talk about it again tomorrow. In other words, don't let them see you make a sudden change in your flexibility just because you're just exhausted, which is what we tend to want to do, or I want to do, just go, oh, forget it, this is not working. But let them see that if you're going to change or tweak something, you're thinking it through. Maybe tomorrow we will talk about this.
Good point. And we talked earlier about with Kathy about letting those house rules be your backup or whatever it is that's your backup when you're exhausted. And so, you're right. It's presenting yourself with authority even when you're exhausted, so that they don't see that
you buy some time. You buy some time if you say, yes, we really do need to think about it, but let's think about it and come back and talk about it tomorrow.
Right. That's great. Thank you, Catherine. Mm-hmm. Anybody else have questions generally about systems and structures?
This is Catherine again. I'll ask you this. I was thinking about this today because this is such a huge, huge area. And especially as we think about this 504 thing, we're still going to have to put in a lot of structures at home in terms of the homework assignments and school assignments and stuff. But I was thinking, how do you get a kid to accept a structure? And I was thinking about, I'd read somewhere in one of the things about the concept of self-monitoring or self-whatever. And I was thinking, okay, almost every day, and of course this is because I'm old and I'm a mother, we get in the car on the way to school and my brain says, say to him, do you have your lunch? Do you have your ID badge? Okay, he doesn't forget the backpack because it's really big. The lunch, the ID badge. So I have programmed myself with this little two-item list. He gets in the car. Do you have the lunch? Do you have the ID badge? And I realize, that's why most of us, when we end up at the grocery store, we have our pocketbook in our wallet because we've learned to do that our whole lives. How do you get somebody to develop these internal self-monitoring lists? And we've tried for years with this structure that, you read this in all the textbooks. Have your stuff ready the night before. Put your stuff by the door. Don't let your homework stuff sit on the coffee table or be on your bedroom floor. But to put that in place is so hard. And so the
right.
mom is running around with these lists in her head all the time,
Right. Well, and so I hear you saying that the checklist is there. So the question is, how do you move that the responsibility of the checklist from your head to his head? What are the steps to get from, once you get to the car, you ask the question to... And I just have this flash because I have this friend and I spent the weekend at his place with his family the other day. And he gets to the door and he says, keys, phone, jacket, go. And it's the same thing. He says the same thing every time he walks out the door. And it's what he does to remember. And this is an adult male, right? And so how do you get from you doing that in the car once you're there to him doing it as he's walking out the door, whatever it is? And maybe you need to have more time built in so that he does it. Maybe you're doing it along with him and saying, okay, what are the two questions you need to ask yourself before you leave the house? So it's thinking about kind of how to get from you taking full responsibility step by step by step to him creating a habit where he asks himself those questions before he leaves the house every time.
And you know,
does that make sense?
It does, but something I've never been good at, and I always am thinking about it theoretically, is, okay, put the sign on the bathroom mirror that says, don't forget the rubber bands on the braces. Don't forget your ID. Or put a sign on the door going out to the garage. But as we know for even ourselves, if you put too many signs up, you pretty soon your brain just looks past them, and they don't mean anything. So then I'm thinking, well, then you'd have to do some clever signs and color them and change them every 3 or 4 days. I don't know.
So here's the thing I would say is that it goes back to the doing one thing at a time. And I still recall I had a challenge with Jacob taking his medication last spring for school, and I decided that I was going to tackle it. And I'm very confident that now, in fact, I know that it's the case because we got halfway out the door the other day, and he said, oh, my gosh, I forgot my pill. And he went back and got it. So it's that focusing in and taking the steps for one thing at a time. And so maybe you start with the rubber bands. Maybe you start with the pill. Maybe you start with whatever it is. Once it becomes a habit, and it could take 3 months, it could take 2 weeks, it just depends, then you tackle something else. And I think that it's where you get 17.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I was wondering if you could share with us what exactly you did to tackle it. Such the pill one, for example.
Like, sure.
What did you do specifically to get to the point where he's now remembering it himself as he's walking out the door?
Well, I think that the big thing was having a system, and so that it was always every day before he walked out the door, I would ask him. And so he'd get really irritated because he didn't want to hear me ask. He's 14 and a half, and he wants to be independent, and he doesn't want his mom to have to ask him. So that was the first kind of lever I used. The second thing is that we have a pill case. So I can look and glance without having to ask to see whether he took his pill. And that helped from a dynamic perspective because I wasn't nagging, but I was able to calm myself because I knew he had or hadn't. And so I wasn't always asking him. I could glance first, and if he had, I wouldn't have to ask. And so that helped. And I think that the third thing was about him understanding and seeing the value. And that was the two things I mentioned earlier, which is he knows he can't get a driver's license unless he medicates. And he knows that it helps him in school to do better. And it's a waste of his time sometimes to be in at school without his medication. And that's just maybe Jacob. And your child may not be there, but I think that it was all of those pieces together that over time, and the first thing was I didn't start by expecting him to be able to do it himself. I started by expecting that he would need a reminder. So hopefully that helps.
That does. Thank you.
So I think the other thing I wanted to talk about, because I just had an experience with it, you know, so when we talk about systems and structures, we're talking about things like checklists and house rules and reward systems and reminder systems and all of these sorts of things. And so I would encourage you, in fact, let's make that homework. I'll put that in the Monday message, to post your favorite system on Facebook so that everybody can kind of, you know, hear what you're doing to do, like I just did with the pills and the medication. It's like if you've got a system that really works for you to get your kid out the door in the morning, post that on Facebook and share that with a group. And that way we'll get more details because I'm a little anxious about our time today. And if we start sharing ideas, I think that's the best way to do it. I'm writing myself a note. Ha, that's a system. The one thing, because we've got, you know, middle school, early high school age kids, I wanted to share a little bit about a tool that Elaine taught me, which is called Designing the Alliance. And I think that it's really important as our kids are at this age that we find time when we're all calm to have conversations about what's working and what's not, that we have conversations about what we need and about what they need. And so the conversation that Jacob and I had this weekend was around his homework and about making sure that his homework got done. And I'll write a blog about it, I think, this week. But it's just about getting clear on what he needs from me, what I need from him, and then a commitment of what I can count on from him and what he can count on from me. So, for example, one of the things that he needed me to stay calm, and he needed me to encourage him. And what he needed to do, what I needed him to do, was to take responsibility for his ADHD and to understand what that meant. And so we spent a lot of time talking about what it would mean if he was taking responsibility for his ADHD. And so I think that it's really important as your kids get older to begin having these conversations about what you expect and what help they need to accomplish that, and to do it not in the midst of the drama, because that's the automatic response is I've got to fix it, but in the midst of a calm conversation when it's not an issue, like on Saturday morning at Waffle House, which is, you know, sometimes the best time you have conversations with your kids. So that's the last thing that I'll share because we're getting close to time here. But I want to hear from you guys if anything significant came up as I was talking or as we were sharing.
Diane, this is Catherine again. That thing you wrote that was in the workbook, I thought was so good, where you said you need to, the example was, let's work on this subject, let's say math, 15 minutes a day. The goal not being to get the A in the class or the A on the test, but the goal being to let's get in the routine of working 15 minutes of math a day. Forget how the grade turns out. The grade is going to improve if we did that, but to let the goal be to get the structure in place. And I just thought that was so good. And I'm kind of going to go for something like that. I liked that idea so much.
Yeah, it's interesting because I've toyed with and I've tried a couple times to put a process in place where my kids have to do homework every night, even if they don't have homework every night, so that there's a structure of 45 minutes so that they get into that routine of, you know, every night I'm going to be doing something, whether it's reviewing for a test that's in 2 weeks or reading or whatever it is. But I think that that's really valuable to kind of get in the routine, that it's about the structure and not about the output.
And we need to
thank you for.
They need to know 15 minutes is not very long. I remember in elementary school when Zachary would have 5 or 10 minutes of homework, sometimes he'd fuss for 15, and I'd say, you could have done it twice. And, I mean, if we would impress upon them a little bit of something done consistently is really worthwhile.
Right.
So I want to try to think about that this week.
Yeah. And I guess what I would highlight in what you just said, Catherine, is a lot of times our kids, that 15 minutes for 5 minutes, that's the ADHD challenge. I mean, that's the reality of the brain not getting the cause and effect. And so they lock in on something. They get hyper-focused on, this is too long. And they spend longer focused on the too long. So it's about helping them break the hyper-focus and have some kind of structure to break the hyper-focus so that they can get the work done.
Good.
So I want to give you guys a chance to kind of write down what you want to do for the next couple weeks and to share if you need accountability. So let's focus in on the wrap-up here. The four questions are on page 15. You know, so what did you learn or get clear about today? How can you apply it in your life right now? What's a realistic action step for you to take? And how can you set yourself up for success? And we talked about realistic action steps, and we talked about success. And so, again, it's about trying to find one particular area where you think you might either try a system and a structure again, make an adjustment, you know, but go back to your area where you're going to take aim and figure out what you're going to do about it. Anybody want to share?
Hi, this is Beth H. I'm on my phone, so hopefully you can hear me okay.
Yeah.
My problem is I need a system and structure to get a system and structure because I have all these reminders and lists, and after, you know, every call that we have, I have this big plan, and then here it is 2 weeks later, and I've done nothing about it. So I don't know if you have any suggestions specifically for that. I was going to try to think about how I could tweak my, you know, existing structures to maybe work a little bit better, but that's going to be my focus.
So what do you think is breaking down, Beth?
I think I'm just overwhelmed. I just have so many reminders, and, I mean, it's not all obviously about my daughter, so they're not really things I can just forget about. You know, it's all the rest of daily life, appointments and work and grocery shopping and all that kind of stuff. So maybe I need to have a different kind of reminder that's not going to get lost in with what I'm already doing.
So when you think about all those other reminders, the grocery list and the work and the everything else, where do you have the same challenges that you're having with supporting your family on the ADHD issues?
I do have, you know, issues in all of the areas, but it's a little bit more like, okay, well, we have nothing to eat for dinner, so then I will remember to go to the grocery store, you know, or I get a call from the orthodontist saying that we missed that appointment. So I'm not saying I'm doing any better in those other areas. They just seem to, you know, present when there's an issue. It has a way of bringing itself to my attention.
Right. So there's a go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, whereas with my daughter, I'm thinking everything's going okay, and then I get the email saying she's got 4 missing assignments, and, oh, right, I didn't check with her, you know, earlier in the week, or, you know, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, but it sounds like that's part of the way that you operate, is that something becomes emergent and you address it. You know, that's how you prioritize, is that it's that most important thing is the next thing that I tackle. Is that fair?
Yes, but then I think I'm fighting fires all the time instead of having a system to not have fires.
Yeah. So tell me one aspect in your life where you don't handle it like a fire.
Probably my work. You know, I stay more on top of my work stuff than anything else.
Okay, so what's different about that?
I job it, and I need my paycheck.
Okay, so it's a priority for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so how can you apply some of that prioritization? How can you make your daughter and her homework differently important so that it maybe it's just a priority and it's just your ability to make it happen?
Yeah, that could be.
You know, because there's more than one piece. It's either, you know, you're at the end of your, you know, you're at your bandwidth and you really have too much on your plate and you need to let some stuff go, or you need to shift your priorities and make this more important than other stuff. You need to figure out how to make it an urgent thing so that it will get addressed like some of these other things.
Yeah, I see your point. I guess I can't really tell why I'm forgetting about it or why it's not a priority. So I'll have to give that a thought.
Yeah. Well, and this might be something to dig in a little bit, Beth, and spend some additional time focused in on, you know, one-on-one or whatever else. I mean, I think that's something that it sounds like it might be helpful to kind of spend some time looking at how you're prioritizing and the energy around the different stuff in your life that can change it.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay. Anybody else want to share their commitment?
We're just soaking in again.
Who is, so I heard two people talking at once. I didn't hear who was talking. So
I started talking. It was Kathy. And I'll talk
really
quickly. Kathy. We had a system in place with helping my daughter learn the whole concept of studying for tests, and it seems to be unraveling. And I think it's a good goal for us is to work on that alliance again and figure out what's unraveling with it and what's going on. Words that you said, Diane, that I wrote down is when you said, I want to jump in there and take control. And I'm just really wondering, without putting that thought in her head, is there too much mommy control going on with being her study buddy? But something's unraveling. And rather than let it go, I think this whole idea of a family meeting and building an alliance and saying, okay, we got to kind of tweak the system because the system isn't working. And really the goal of this whole thing was that she could prove in taking tests how bright she really was. And we could see when she took a test and she did well because she, prepared for it, that she could really shine. And we thought it was positive for her, but something went belly up. She kept two tests away from our knowledge and really actively avoided studying with me for her test she's taking today. So we have to figure it out. So
That sounds like a great thing to tackle.
Yeah. I mean, there's something screwy in it. Of course, I want to psychoanalyze the hell out of it. I gotta just try not to doing that psychoanalyzing thing because that's judgment. We just have to problem solve.
Great. Well, and I have every confidence you'll figure that out.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Need some help or accountability? Terry, I'm curious, because we started with you. Where are you at in terms of wrapping it up?
Well, I had several that wrote down, but one of them that I documented was homework, which we have. It's just we're not consistent about, like, they're supposed to be, they come in the door and we do this, 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 and this. And it doesn't always happen that way. So I think I'm going to sit down with him and have him write it out. And then when he comes in, say, check your list or something like that and have him, you know, go through it with me and see if he has any other suggestions.
Great. Anybody else? We're getting close to time, but I'm happy to have other people report out or talk about what their concerns are. I can go a little bit over today if we need to. If you feel like you need to leave, feel free to do that, but I just want to offer, if folks want to stand for a few minutes more, I'm happy to wrap up or talk about anything. You guys got systems and structures down? You're ready to go? What's going to get in the way, guys?
Tiredness.
Okay. So what's your...
No, what I was thinking is, you know, at noon when we're talking to you, and then whoever's hiding out, when the kids are at school and it's the middle of the day and we're getting our coaching and our moral support, we feel inspired. Then by the time you pick the kids up, you're throwing dinner together, they're tired, you're tired, I could feel inspired, like what I think I'm going to do at 7 o'clock tonight. And by the time you get there, you're just so tired and you just...
Of course you are. Of course you are. So what system could you put in place that would give you a little bit more energy at 7 p.m. tonight?
Well, I think, like, for instance, I'm going to work on the homework planner stuff again. I'm still going to keep nailing away at that. Now, I haven't ever thought about this. You know, the kids have a billion notebooks and this and that and binders. I think I'm going to buy a planner that's going to be mine for the kitchen. So the deal is, when I find out or if I can figure out a way for him to communicate to me, I want to be looking at that in the earlier part of the day. In other words, we can't think about their homework at 6 o'clock when we're either figuring out what to have for dinner or doing the dishes. We can't wait till the end of the day to think about it, or we're going to be too tired. I think thinking ahead of it a little bit is helpful ahead of time. I don't know. The energy cycle, you know, is so rough. I don't know. Thinking ahead.
Okay. So how about if I give you that challenge to come up with something that's going to help you, or have your back if you notice that you're over the deep end?
Okay.
Okay? Great. All right. Any parting comments from anybody? I know we got still a few folks that are hanging on the line. Okay, thank you everybody for a great call, and we are on in 2 weeks, and we're going to talk about motivation. So we're going to dig in just a little bit deeper on incentives and motivation and that sort of thing. So look forward to talking about that, and looking forward to hearing what you put in place in terms of systems and structures, and get ready to post some stuff on Facebook. Thank you for everybody. You're doing a great job. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Diane.